And that's where a lot of people can be deceived, because they don't realize that when this Antichrist comes, he may not be anti-God, and he can deceive you, because it is Jesus Christ who saves us, and you could be pulled away in all different ways. So it's something to keep in mind. Now, we know that God, Jesus Christ, is God, but you got so many people worshiping so many different gods. Don't just get caught up in it because they say God, because you have no idea who they're talking about. That's just something. Okay, to the subject, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Wait, hold it. In the Transfiguration, Jesus took three of his disciples up on the mountain, and where he went to pray. The disciples fell asleep while praying. And when they woke up, they seen Jesus, and there was two other personages beside him. It was Moses and Elijah, okay? And when Peter seen it, because we know Peter's probably like me, you know, he's gonna speak up, say something, whether it's stupid or whatever. He's just gonna say whatever comes to his mind. And he immediately says, "It is great that we are here. Let us build a tent, temples, not necessarily temple, but tents, a place of worship for each of the personages." And as he was speaking, a dark cloud, it depends on which verse you read, dark cloud or a cloud, just came over, and they heard a voice come from the cloud that says, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." That's the point that I want to get to. It says, "Hear him, Jesus." And immediately, Elijah and Moses was gone. Now, Elijah, who represent the prophets, and one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, who called down fire, and Moses, who was the lawgiver. But God told him, no, hear him, Jesus Christ. So you can get people who are going to talk about the prophets and tell you how important the prophets are, and they could tell you how important the commandments in the Old Testament are, and they could be missing the point. They could be missing the point that it is Jesus Christ who saved, not the law and not the prophets. And so we must concentrate our efforts on praising Jesus, on praising Christ, because that's who we put our faith in. And that's where we need to put our faith in, because he's the one that saves. It's not our good works by us keeping the commandments, because if I kept the commandments from this day forward and never broke a single one, I've done enough of my past to more than say, you still going to the other place. To be honest, you know, there are people of other religions and other things that believe in other things that really, if I stop and think about it, they're probably a better person than I am. You got people who can give to the different charities and the different things and go around and help people and all that other stuff. But to me, according to my belief, if you don't believe in Christ, it's all for nothing. So how can it be your works? How can you just think, anyone can just think it's their works because they keep the commandments or whatever? I heard this one pastor who said that there was this guy who was bragging about he kept the commandment that he'd never committed adultery. And that was something he was very, very proud of, you know, and he's going around. That's what he's proud of. He keeps it all to us. But you can not commit adultery for several different reasons. Some of us, probably me, maybe there's no one wanting to commit adultery with you if they look at the way you look, you know? So you bragging that you didn't do it, some people just don't look like nobody wants them, you know what I'm saying? And so the opportunity never arrived. So it is by grace that we're saved. It is, and it's only by grace. And that's why I say, you have to listen to him. And when you read even the Old and the New Testament in the Bible, the Old Testament is, if you really look at it, you could see Christ in the Old Testament. You could see the emotions that comes through. When you look at Joseph, who ended up in slavery in Egypt, he ended up in prison. He went through all kinds of stuff to eventually end up saving his family when the famines came, and he rose to be the second in command in Egypt and things of that nature. So that's a picture of Christ. He came down here and he went through all this stuff to die for us and to help us out. So we need to focus on Christ. We need to become Christ conscious. In other words, not be so caught up when we make a mistake and caught up in the mistake and talking about how we may have lost salvation or we may have done something too bad or whatever the case is, because I don't think that works. I mean, it doesn't work like that. Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So if you made a mistake, how can you even assume that Jesus Christ is just going to say, oh, no, you're not saved anymore? It don't work like that. You're saved. We feel regret. We try to change because we know who Jesus Christ is, but we also know that we're human and we can't do it. And we can't do it perfectly. We might do good for a couple days or whatever, but, you know, we make mistakes and we have to acknowledge those mistakes and just try to do better and know that God has already forgiven us because Jesus Christ died on the cross. God forgave us 2,000 years ago. I mean, if you don't believe that he can forgive you for something you're doing in the future, then you can't believe he died on the cross for you, because he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. So he can forgive you for stuff that you haven't done yet, stuff that you're going to do. So your salvation is secure, whether you feel that way or not. And sometimes I too don't feel that way, but I have to remind myself that I'm taking him at his word, not what I feel. And it goes on. And then we go to Hebrews 8 through 13. And he talks about the new covenant. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Okay, what is he referring to, the covenant that he made when he took them out of Egypt? We're talking about the Ten Commandments. That's why you really can't rely just on keeping the commandments to get you to heaven. It is by the grace of God. He says this new covenant, when we became Christians, we became part of this new covenant that he's referring to. And when he says it will not be like the ones of their forefather when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. And when they led out, that was Moses. Moses led them out of Egypt. And he's saying it won't be based on that, because they didn't remain faithful to the covenant, and I turned away from them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declared the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. In this new covenant, he's even going to say, he will remember your sins no more. So he didn't even say you wasn't going to sin. He said, I will remember them no more. That's God speaking. So if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, he's saying, I'm not going to look at that you did. I heard this one guy says, you know, God can see through everything. God could see you no matter where you go or how you get there, wherever you are, the deepest part of the ocean, the greatest. But there is one thing that God cannot see through, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you take that blood and you have accepted that blood and been washed in that blood, every time God looks at you, no matter who you are or how you got to be there, he sees his son. He sees his son. He doesn't see condemning you because you made a mistake or because you did this. He sees his son, and he chose to do this. When you're saved, guess what? You are saved. Now, I try to keep the commandments because I'm going to heaven, not in order to go, but because I'm going. And I don't want to be standing before this man one day thinking of all the times I could have did good and didn't do it, because that's going to diminish heaven to me. That would diminish the joy of being there, because when I think about people I could have spoke to or people I could have helped and I didn't help, and one day I'm going to be sitting up in heaven and they may not be there. And you talk about feeling small, that's going to be a small feeling. The difference is the attitude. The attitude is, yes, I'm going. I'm taking you at your word, Jesus. I am going to heaven because I did pray that prayer. And I want to be the best person I could be when I get there. I want to grow while I'm here. I want to take that opportunity. I want you to guide me and show me how to do the things that I need to do. By calling this covenant the new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. He's talking about the Ten Commandments there. Not so much, he's talking about relying on the Ten Commandments, because when we love Christ, when we want to serve Christ, those good things that the Ten Commandments talk about, we're going to want to do. We're going to want to do them. And that's just come from knowing Christ. You know what I'm saying? Not being obligated or being turned away because of something going wrong or we did something. This is not a license to sin. What it is it's the freedom to live your life. And when you fall down, to get up and continue doing the best you can be. That's what this is. It is a way to get up. It's a way why you shouldn't give up. You don't have to give up, because Christ is right there for you every step of the way. His dying on the cross is greater than any sin that you could ever commit. And as long as you are alive, you have a chance to be there, to get to know him, the whole nine yards. Learning to forgive yourself doesn't mean I can continue doing whatever I was doing that was wrong. It's just learning to forgive yourself. And I think that's one thing you get when you're Christ conscious, because you know that he is there waiting to forgive you. He's forgiven you. Just because if I forgive someone for smacking me in the face, doesn't mean that that person has permission to come back and smack me in the face again. So let us not mistake that, because you are forgiven, and he's going to be there for us no matter what. But once I seek that forgiveness, I want to at least try. I ain't going to say I'm going to do, but at least try to do better. That covenant is one that I think we all should take a look at, you know, in our spare time and things that, to see what Christianity really is and what it's based on. And it's based on faith. And here's the thing that I discovered about faith and about trusting in Christ, is that there's a place in the Bible where he says he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And then you look at, how did Abraham get saved? Abraham was 400 years before Moses, 400 years before the Ten Commandments. And the scripture says that he was saved because he believed God. When God told him to leave, when God told him that this is going to happen, he believed God. So it was by faith that Abraham. So God has always operated through faith. The commandments was just this intervening thing that was set in between there. And that's a whole nother sermon if you want to really learn about that intervening time, because it goes through in Deuteronomy and things of that nature that explains why the Ten Commandments was even given. So let me go on, and we'll go to Hebrews 7, 22 through 25. Because of the oath, Jesus Christ has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in the office. But because Jesus lived forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Right there where he has that permanent priesthood. That priesthood is the Melchizedek priesthood. And I'm quite sure being in this area, we've heard about the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, as we read on, it's going to say that because Jesus lived forever, he don't need no help. He doesn't need me to hold that priesthood. Because if you believe that Jesus Christ rose again and is living, then he's there always to answer your prayer, no matter who you are. He's there to be there for you. And unless you believed he died and he's no longer there, why else would anybody need that priesthood? See, I believe Jesus Christ is alive today. I believe that God rose him from the dead. So with him being alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, he's my high priest. He's the one that needs it, and he will hear any of us. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And there you have it. This is scriptures. These are coming straight out of the books, you know? And it's something we have to come to terms with. We just have to come to terms with, yes, we believe, but how do we believe? What's going to determine our level of belief? Now, we can let other people's interpretation do that, or we can start to read and find out for ourselves. What I like about the Bible is the fact that it is old, that it has been around, and people have had every opportunity to scrutinize it, to go through and everything, and it persists. If you had a newer book or something of that nature that no one can really scrutinize, you just got to take at someone else's word or whatever the case is, well, that seems kind of leery to me. So it's usually best that we take the time and learn what God wants us to do and to know, and allow the Bible to interpret Bible. Allow us to get out of that what God wants us to have. And these things that I'm saying is so we can look in and see where the armor of God is for the things that come at us out there in the world. That when we know these truths, then we have put on the armor of God that they speak of. And that is what's going to help us through. That's going to help us come back and be here. I myself loved when I learned this. I mean, because to me, when I learned these things, it actually set me free a little bit. It set me free a lot, because then I began to understand what Jesus Christ wants me to do and how for me to live when I'm not so busy beating myself up because of the mistakes that I make. Because sometimes we can beat ourselves up for years. We can hold grudges against us for making mistakes. And when we do, that's when all the bad stuff like diseases and all this other stuff start coming in, because we feel like we deserve them. And even if you did deserve it, he's saying that he's not holding it against you. So if he doesn't want you to have it, you don't have to have it. So what we need to do is just make sure our faith is in Christ and in the right place. I don't know, y'all. I think this, to me, is very, very important to know these truths and to learn how to live with them. And I know it's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy. I learned this, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm still not that good at it. But the point is that I'm a heck of a lot better than I was back when, before I learned these things. God is there for us. And he said, Jesus Christ, sir, to be the doorway. And we have accepted that doorway. We appreciate and love that doorway. This is why we're here. And the point is that we shouldn't allow anybody or anything to point us in the wrong direction. And we need to just say our trust is in Jesus Christ. Let us take time and just think about a moment of silence. I'm stealing that from Pastor D there. And just think about what was just said. Let me pray. Almighty Jesus, we come here today to worship you. We give you praise and thanks. We ask that you teach us how to put on the full armor, that you show us your love and mercy, that may we rely on you. We put our trust in you to watch over us. There are many who are not here today, Lord. Some are sick, some have relatives that are sick, the whole nine yards. But God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to touch their lives, to touch the lives of their loved ones, and to help them glorify you. Help them get better so that they can see your glory, so we can see your glory. Lord God Jesus, we know that you are. And we know that you have the perfect will for all of us. And we're thankful, God, I am so thankful that you were always there to heal, to help, to never curse anyone, but you bless them. And God, I know that is you through your word. So thank you for watching over the people that I know here and their loved ones. Because in your precious name, I know good is going to come from it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.